We're out of practice.
What up, though? We back with another episode of All Black Men Need Therapy. My name is Chief.
And I'm Bell.
And for the fourth time, my name is Prentice.
And I'm not sure where he's at on your screen, but we got our homie partner playing with us, my man Obi West. Shout out to Obi West one time.
Yeah.
Obi is a U.S. Army, right? U.S. Army. Retired U.S. Army vet. Poet extraordinaire. Dad. Exemplar. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have some conversations about love today again. But before we do that, we always check in, man. So we'll start with you. How you doing? How you feeling? How the New Year treat you? Happy New Year, fellas.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Happy New Year to you all. Did you say me? You said it's going to start with me?
Yeah, we can start with you. Check in, man. How you doing? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I don't even know no other way to describe it. I'm good. If I had to conjure a complaint, I wouldn't be able to come up with one.
I like that.
That's what's up. It's supposed to start the new year. Has it been that way for a while, or just that's how you carry it into the new year?
That's how it's just been that way for a while.
That's what's up. We're gonna come back to you. Bell, check in. Yo.
I'm good, man. I'm in a very interesting place. Well, first of all, I see my beard and all that. Prentice cut off. I was like, damn, Bell, you got a whole beard blown out. I'm like, yeah, man, I ain't playing around. About to grow my shit out. Yeah, man, I'm in an interesting place, man. Just, you know, things are good. Like, no complaints. Like, honestly, no complaints. Getting ready to go through a transition with work. My new role starts effective January 16th. So that's going to be a different element that I'm going to be in. My teams will be up and down the Eastern Seaboard. So the days of going into an office with your team there are done. You know, I will be planning travel to meet with my team going forward. My team is in this New York City, Charlotte, and Orlando. So
road trips too, B.
Yeah, turn your mic up a little bit, cheap. I don't know what you did, but it's a little lower. But I'm good, man. My son is great. The dude's vocabulary is just getting more and more impressive. Did my goals yesterday or New Year's Eve rather. Feel really, really good about where I'm at with that. Feel really good about what we're gonna do with the podcast this year. I feel good about what I'm gonna do personally. And I just feel like I'm at a point where I feel there's just more, right, that we're destined for. And I feel like I can settle for what, you know, I deemed as sufficient, you know, but I feel like there's more I have in the tank, and I feel like there's more I can provide. And I'm looking to explore that in 2023. So that's where I'm at.
P, talk to me, homie. What's good? What's happening, man? Happy New Year, friend.
Yeah, Happy New Year, man. I think professionally I'm cool, right? Like, we got the plan for this Grammy run. About to get this real estate license. Just signed up for my classes, so I'm about to do
Congrats,
that.
Congrats, that's dope.
Yeah, man. About to create some new streams of revenue. Outwardly, I'm fine, but, like, inwardly, I'm not okay. And I had to tell myself that like a couple of days ago. Like, I'm not okay. And what I mean by that is it's weird because my ability to have insight right now, you know what I mean? Like, with the work we've been doing, or the work I've been doing the past real heavy year, it gives me a lot more internal insight. Now I'm able to, like, receive and kind of identify and pick apart certain things going on with me. And I'm at a point where it's having a really, like, hard impact on me internally, like emotionally and mentally. And I know it's my increased mental health that's allowing me to identify it, but it's also like the fact that I identified it, I know I need a different, I signed up to find a Black therapist this week.
Congrats.
And I had to for this because I can't do it anymore. There's no place I can put it to make it make more sense now. And now it's fucking with me. It's fucking with me from a space where I can't fix it on my own. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's not bad. I'm identifying all this shit, but now I'm like, I think about it and shit is fucking with me. So I'm like, I don't have the tools to deal with this shit right now. And these feelings keep reoccurring. So I got to do whatever the fuck is next because I can't write this off. I can't process it off in a different way. Like, I got to deal with this shit. So I'm okay because I can realize all this shit, but I'm not okay with the amount and how much it's impacting me right now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
But I'm still okay.
And thank you for sharing.
No, for sure. So when you're ready to open up about it, please, yo, make sure we have that discussion.
It's nothing we haven't talked about. That's the thing. But it's really analyzing and evaluating all this shit, you know what I'm saying, and getting more insight and combing through my childhood and all that shit. It's everything we've been talking about. It's just I can't articulate my way out of these emotions anymore. I can't put them off to the – they keep fucking coming. So I'm like, I'm not down with them. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm like, oh, this is too much. I got to figure out a way to handle, deal with, you know?
I think that speaks to the conversation we was having off camera before we started, Prentice, about normalizing the fact that we do deal with trauma and recognizing it as trauma. Maybe what you're going through right now, man, is you are now able to identify it, right? Yeah, so now that you're able to identify it, now it's like, okay, now I got to execute, right? And figure out what needs to be done so I don't feel like this anymore. Because before I thought this was normal. Now I understand it's not normal. Like now I understand that this is something I have to deal with or I'm dealing with, right? I'm going to always deal with it until I decide to do something about it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what I'm hearing from you. It's like, it's always been there, but now you're able to recognize it more clear.
Well, identifying it ain't enough now.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So that's now exactly. I'm at this point where I can identify this shit, and now it's like, fuck, man, this shit ain't enough. I think I'm tapped out. I can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't nothing my way out of where I'm at. So I gotta add another tool set because I'm not about to go down. I don't feel depressed. I just this shit is heavy and it's fucking with me.
Yeah,
it's real heavy, daily heavy, like emotional daily heavy. And I'm like, I can't stay with this shit. So I'm trying all these tools that I got, but none of them are the answer. So I got to figure out something else.
That's dope, therapy, for real. That's what's up.
It don't feel dope though. So any of y'all listening, man, this shit sucks right now. Like, this shit don't feel cool at all. Like I can smile, I can joke, I can see people, I can be around people, but I had these moments where shit ain't. It ain't feeling cool, bro. So you know, once you've identified it, that shit ain't enough, man. You got to do something else.
That's what's
salute to you in the journey, bro.
As long as you're making it through the day, man. If you know if you need to reach out on some, you know, some non-public stuff, yeah, we ain't nothing but a phone call away.
You already know.
For sure. On my end, man, blessed, yo. I'm feeling good. I was telling Bell before we started recording, like discipline, I think, is my word right now, bro. Like having a plan and being disciplined about attacking that joint. Like I really, really want to just be like adamant about whatever it is that I'm doing and really make it a point to like, you know, not make excuses for the day. Nah, you know what? I worked out this morning. I don't got to, you know, do the cardio at night, or I wrote a little bit this morning. I don't got to finish the poem till tomorrow. Like, no. This is what you set out to do. Do it. And let that be it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really focused on being disciplined this year to the T though. Cause I'm the number one man of feeding myself excuses and going halfway and be like, yeah, I did enough. That's enough for the day. But that ain't, I mean, it's, you know, the objective gets done and that's not what I want it done when I say it's going to be done rather than being like, I got another day. You know what I'm saying? None of that procrastinate shit no more. So discipline it in regards to setting my goals and achieving them. So other than that, the kids are happy and healthy. Dukes is fine. Yo, my mom hit me today. She said, Jermaine, you know what today is? I'm like, no, ma, Happy New Year. She's like, it's your father's birthday. You gonna call him?
Oh shit!
you don't know the whole story, but my dad and I don't have a relationship. You know what I'm saying? We had this whole thing in the podcast, whatever. But my mom, she told me today's his birthday, so I guess she was like expecting me to call him or something.
His mom is like the main catalyst to try to get them to speak or have some type of relationship, right? To no avail.
So it ain't going down like that, but. We did talk about the other day. Oh, like your daughter's had a birthday, right?
Yeah, she had a birthday on the 28th of December.
Yeah, so Belle, got a 20-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
You and Belle in the same, you know.
Yeah, I got a 25-year-old, man. I got a 25-year-old and a 2-year-old.
How old is the, what's the 25-year-old, boy or girl?
My daughter. She's a girl, yep. And my son, is 2.
Yeah, I have a daughter as well. She just turned 20.
That's what's up, man. I'm
deathly afraid of those days. I am.
They coming. They coming.
He posted a picture. O posted a picture of it. I guess y'all was on vacation or something like that with his daughter and her man. And I'm just like, I don't think I seen Suge is Bell's daughter. I don't think I seen Suge with a dude, or maybe she didn't introduce me to
it. Yeah, you have. You had a couple. But of
maybe it was just this my friend. I ain't really, you know what I mean? I give a chance to give him the boyfriend stare. How was it, O, interacting with the dude, man? Like,
it wasn't bad. His birthday was December 30th. He turned 20 as well. They've been friends since the sixth grade.
Okay.
She had one other boyfriend before him. He was the friend during that boyfriend. So this guy has been around for the longest. So this is not like a new introduction to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He went pretty much from kids to adults while knowing her. So that made it a little bit easier because he's familiar.
You know what I mean? Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So we got you on. Oh, I was telling the fellas how when I was in Vegas and we chopped it up, went out to get some good food, we was just having all types of conversations. And one of the conversations we tapped on was about love. And I just remember listening to you go about it. And it was like, damn, it's very interesting. You had just a very interesting perspective on love. And I'm like, you know what? Black men talking about love is never a bad thing. So let's double the episode back and, you know, bring another brother on and talk about love. So before we even get into that conversation, real quick, this is completely outside the pocket, but I saw some on Facebook the other day or Instagram or whatever, and it said, if your homie's girl tell your homie she don't want him rocking with you and he cut you off and then they break up and he tried to rekindle the friendship, do y'all still be homies again?
Me?
Yeah.
Who you want to answer? Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No, you got it, Obi. Go ahead.
Yeah, for me, especially depending on the history between me and him, I've been in situations that were new to me, and my first response to that situation wasn't the best one. And if somebody didn't give me some grace, then, you know, I would have kind of been effed over, right? So, and that goes into the situation of love. Love is very much a controlled substance. When we start responding to this thing in ways that we didn't expected we would. So my friend he was just in a situation he wasn't familiar with, and he made a decision he probably won't make no more. So he gonna hear from me, but I ain't gonna lock him up.
See, and that's why we had these conversations, because my immediate response was like, nah, bro. Like, so I think I'm a little biased because I really firmly believe that my friendship circle is unique in a sense, and not that, you know, others are significant. They might feel the same about theirs, but the way I feel about my friends, I just can't see that happening. I don't see that happening. And if it did, it would be devastating to me. You know what I'm saying? And at that point, it's like, nah, bro, that ain't for me. That ain't for me. So you make your choice type deal.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I'm a context person. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need context. Like, why she don't want you hanging out with me? You know what I'm saying? Now, like, if the circumstances are like they're in a committed relationship, I'm single, I'm a bad influence. Okay. Like, I can understand that, and they break up, then we back at it. You know what I'm saying? But if we both in committed relationships and she just don't like me and she don't have like a valid concern outside of she just don't get along with me or something like that, now that's when I would need you as my friend to leverage how many of a years of friendship that we have. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man. Like if I did something wrong, then I own it. If I did something wrong, if I'm a bad influence, all of that. But if it's just like, you just don't like the way I wear my jacket, you know what I'm saying? You just don't want him to be my friend. In my opinion, that then says more about him than me.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
If we go circle around with this whole love conversation, Shorty tell me she don't want me hanging out with Opie because he's a ladies' man and whatever. Isn't her love supposed to trust me enough to make good decisions around my friends?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if there's a definitive answer to that, but the fact is, you guys don't have like interests. You see what I'm saying? Like, you at a club, if O was the ladies' man, then O's gonna have ladies around him. You know what I'm saying? And you gonna be the eye man out. It's like, why put yourself in that situation? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if that's the circumstance, I respect that. Like, and I understand that, you know? I get that. If that's the circumstance.
Yeah, Pete.
I don't think had a person that was close to the family, right? And what he did was he stole. That's all he did. Stole. Everybody knew him as a thief. Right. He went to jail. He got out of jail after years. It's like, I don't do that no more. Everybody still loved him, but nobody wasn't letting him in his house. Right. Like, love don't dictate trust.
Right.
I think love is simply a feeling. And what we've done is we've taken all these different responsibilities and we've thrown it on love. And we said, since you love me, then you should do this. We should do this. And yeah. Love probably sitting back like, why y'all putting all this onus on me? It's just a feeling. All those other things are rooted in regard or rooted in respect. So you can love a person. I got a whole bunch of people I love and don't trust them.
Mm. So we actually had that conversation too.
Yeah, so love don't dictate trust.
Yeah. I got homies who my relationship with them, I feel like is impacted by their relationship with their significant other. And I respect it, man. Like, one, I'm not asking nobody to be my friend and stay my friend. That's one. And I feel like over anything, if somebody feels like they have to cut me out of their life because of who they have new in their life, then I feel like that's a decision they got to make. I'm going to express how I feel about it. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, if that's what they feel they need to do, then who am I to stop them? But it definitely is going to, you know, tell me where I stand in their life and I would assume readjust where I place them in mine. You know what I'm saying? But keep it moving. And when I see you, it's cool. I may be disappointed in the overall effect of our relationship, but you got to do what you got to do. Hey, listen, man, I respect it, but we clear.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So you saying when he comes back around, they break up, per the scenario, they break up and he try to get back rocking how y'all was. You saying it would be different?
For me?
Yeah, for you.
I definitely be assessing how, now it's about how, where I want to place him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he already had a position. He told me where mine was in correlation to his relationship. You know, do what you got to do. But when you come back around, it's not saying the door isn't open to get back, but I'm definitely going to, you know, be aware that, you know, you can dip again if you dip before. So how much trust, faith, whatever, you know, the parameters of a relationship, how much of that do I really want back? Knowing that you can exit again. And I'm not really in the arena at this point in time in my life anymore where I don't need like temporary friends and shit.
My question to you, Prentice, would be if the initial conversation was a level up for him, like hypothetically, he goes, P, look, man, I love this girl, man. You single. Or again, I'm going with that same scenario. You single.
Right.
I'm trying to, she might, I don't know if she the one, she might be the one, but I want to give it my all. And I know being around you is going to tempt me to go back into that life. And I'm really trying to chart the right path. You know what I'm saying? So that being said, I want to, you know, cut down. We're going to still, you still my man, but I want to cut down on how much we hang out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think that's a little different. You got a direct ass reason. Like,
yeah, that's a very mature and response.
Yeah, that's actually pretty honest and direct. Like, bro, you know, we be getting to it when we chill. Right. I'm gonna chill for a minute. That's a lot more respectable than, hey, yo, she don't want me fucking with you, so we're gonna have to be cool.
I've had a homegirl who was a part of like the Connecticut Poetry Slam team that we were on together. I was at her house rehearsing one day. Old boy came in. We rehearsing, never been intimate, never nothing crazy like that, right? And Money told her he don't want her talking to me. And she stopped talking to me, wouldn't return my text. Then all of a sudden she hit me up one day out of the blue. Like, yo, you know, I apologize.
Welcome to the poetry, gang.
Like, homie, you know, I feel terrible, blah, 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 blah. Like, just completely ghosted a nigga. I'm like, wow, it's kind of fucked up.
If I had a dollar for how many times I heard, hey, I don't want you talking to those system ass niggas, I would have a couple pairs of shoes.
System.
A system. What's that? My bad.
They use his poem.
Oh, system of poem. Yeah.
I don't want you talking to somebody no more, man. This shit is crazy.
That's funny as hell. So, oh, give us I don't know if you remember. Give us your breakdown on love specifically. I mean, the question we wanted to ask you was what does healthy love look like to you? But give us your perspective of love, because I do remember we had a pretty interesting conversation, and the fellas will kind of, you know, piggyback off of that.
Yeah, that's a broad question. I have a little bit more confidence in familial. Is that how you say it? Familial. Love.
Familiarity.
Love between family members. Love between friends than I do for emotional love, right? Love between, I got friends that I grew up with right now, dudes who tell me, hey, I love you, bro. And I say, I love you too. That love is rooted in care. But that dating love is rooted in emotion, right? So that love that's rooted in emotion tends to be a little bit harder to control the way you respond to it. My homeboy told me he loved me. It's received like, I love you too. When you're dating somebody and they come out the blue and say, I love you, you're like, hey, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? You don't be taken aback when a family member or somebody else tell you they love you. And most of the time when somebody tell you, I love you, and it's somebody who dating, they always preface it with, I wanted to tell you this, but I didn't want to scare you away. What does it say about love? What type of connotation does love have when people feel like they're reluctant to say it because it might scare you away? You know what I'm saying?
Very bad.
I think love, I grew up in a household where there was abuse, right? And I would watch my father abuse my mother. And then he would tell this woman, I love you. And then she would respond in kind and say, I love you. So as a child, when I'm watching that, my definition of love. And then when those parents would spank me, those parents would say, I spank you because I love you. So now every demonstration of love I've been shown is attached to abuse. If my neighbor, if she lives in a house where her parents exchange pet names and I love you and Cummy Bear and Sugar Pie, and all they do is hug and kiss. Now that's her definition of love because that's what she's seen. If you look in Webster right now, it says the definition of love is a connection, is a care that's connected to sex. That's what Webster says right now. So Webster says love is sex. So we know that that's not the definition. Everybody's not, yeah, go to Merriam-Webster. You look at the second definition. The first definition is about family love. The second definition says is care connected to sex. Then you have Corinthians. Corinthians is a love that I don't even think it's obtainable by humans. It says love does not envy. Love does not have wrath. Who have you ever loved that you didn't get mad at? If that's the case, we ain't never loved ever. Right? So I think the definitions of love is created by a person's experience or by what they wish it can be. I sat in a room with three women and I asked these three women, I said, what's your definition of love? And they all gave me these beautiful definitions of love. I said, have any of you ever experienced your definition of love? They all said no. I said, have any of you ever given your definition of love? And they all said no. So they're all defining love based on what they imagine it to be, not based on anything they've ever seen. Right. If you start explaining love based on what you felt, it'll have words in it like disappointing. It'll have words in it like hurt. It'll have all those words in it. Right. So a lot of people are describing love based on what they imagine it to be. I don't think love is what a lot of people's looking for. A lot of people say, I'm looking for love and I hadn't found love. I think they have found love. I think it's one of those things to where I ask somebody, I say, hey, have your mother ever said something to you that made you mad and you wanted to cuss her out? It was like, yeah, it's happened before. I said, did you cuss her out? No, I ain't cuss her out. That's my mother. I said, you ever have somebody else in your family, like a cousin, that said the same thing to you? Would you cuss them out? Oh, yeah, they say that to me. They can get it. So we've now shown that love exists in both of these situations, but one person's eligible to get cussed out. The other person isn't. Why wouldn't you cuss out your mother? They say, because I have a higher level of regard. So regard is that thing that dictates the behavior, not love. Love is strictly a feeling. You can have somebody that you work with that has regard for you that don't love you, and they'll treat you way better than somebody in your house that loves you that don't have any regard. You got people in abusive situations with people that love them all day long, but you'll never get that treatment from somebody who regards you. So regard is the thing that we need that dictates how we're treated. Love is strictly a feeling. But people tend to feel like, well, if you love me, then why did you do that? If you love me, then why did you do this? And everybody's definition of love is different. But when we meet somebody and we say, I love you, we never ask that person, wait, before you tell me that, what's your definition of love? Because if you grew up in the same house I grew up in, love might mean I'm going to crack your cranium as soon as it's time for me to show you I care. Right? But we always assume that their definition is the same as ours. So when it doesn't feel the same, we're confused. So I think love is like a unicorn. It's one of those things where the definition isn't consistent amongst everybody. Everybody has their own definition, but you're trying to find your definition within somebody else who had a completely different experience. And this is why it fails all the time. Love is one of those things that it has to be rebranded. It has a real negative connotation. I have a good friend of mine. I won't say her name because I think a couple of you know her. And her brother was killed. Her brother was killed by the mother of his children. He told her, "I didn't want to be with you anymore." He was walking out of the house and she shot him from behind. You know why she did it? Because she said she loved him. How many people in jail for murder right now because they killed somebody they say they love? So love is one of those things that it creates this level of emotion. And a lot of us don't know how to respond to the emotion. Right. I had a friend of mine who told me, I was telling her about somebody who was cutting tires. And she's like, "I never cut nobody tires or break their glass. That's just crazy." And then she was involved with this dude. And this dude, engagement with that dude, she reached a level of emotion that she never thought she could. And what she do? She went and cut his tires and broke his glass. So a lot of times we don't even know what we're capable of. We only know what we're capable of within the level of emotion that we've reached. We don't even know what we're capable of in those levels of emotion that we've never reached. And when we reach those, we might do some crazy shit, like tell one of our homeboys, "I can't fuck with you no more because of this girl." And then when that level of emotion goes away and we come back to our senses, emotion is like nut, right? You have a nut. And the second you nut, you look at the person like, "Why are you here?" You just come to your senses. The second you bust a nut, that's how emotion is. The second you're not in that emotional state, you come back to your senses. So I think love, to get back to the root of your question, love drives emotion. When you talk about dating type love, it drives emotion. People hadn't learned how to respond to emotion. So they do a whole lot of crazy stuff as a response to the emotion, and then they blame it on love. "I did that because I loved them. I did that because I love them." So now we get scared when we hear someone say, "I love you."
So,
because it has a negative connotation. That's a long, drawn out answer, but I hope I addressed
what you asked. That's exactly why I remember the conversation we had, which is why it's an interesting point for the fellas. So before we let them get into it, let me ask you this. One, have you... given...
Wait, before you ask more questions, that's a lot to unpack, Chief.
I think we should
pause there for a second, because you're going to ask another question and then I'm going to forget, you know, everything that he just said. Well, not everything, but... Well, first of all, Obi, man, thank you for that. I don't think I've ever heard it explained like that, right? And the way you explained it is true on so many levels. Like, it's 100% true. And what I hear is, like, love is, like, fluid. You know what I'm saying? Which I've always known that, but I've never known. There's a lot that's going on in my mind right now. Like, because we have this this, for lack of a better term, fictional understanding or definition of love, right? Are we subconsciously not capable of being loved, right? If this love is this pie in the sky, right? That per your example, these people haven't given and haven't received, right? So when we are being loved, right, or even regarded, can we even recognize it, right? Because it's in our head, it looks like this, but that's not even reality, right? Because we've never seen that, and our experience in love, again using your examples, can be one of great harm or one of compassion and emotion, right? Depending on what side of the coin you're on. So I love what you said when you said basically when you get with someone, you have to have that conversation like, "Hey, let's define this," right? Because I can be, to your point, I can be loving you, cracking you upside your damn head, and that to me is showing you real love, right? But you grew up in a household where pet names and cuddles and public displays of affection was real love, right? So it's like, you'll never be on the same page. Now, you may have an emotional connection, right? Mm-hmm. But you won't be able to hold this person in the regard, to your point, that they want to be held in because your definitions aren't aligned, but you both love each other. So you're not wrong, right? She's not wrong. He's not wrong. Because they are loving per their definition, but it's not being received because that was never their definition. You know what I'm saying? So I love the fact that, no pun intended, I love the fact that you said, "Hey, let's define this," because it is very broad and it means something different for everybody. And I couldn't agree more with that, but I never thought about it like that.
And it's extremely skewed, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Prentice, you look like you got a lot on your mind over there, bro.
I was taking it all in, man, listening to what you guys were saying.
Yeah, you leaning heavy in thought, B.
Yeah, I was really processing everything that was being said. It's a lot.
It is. That's why I didn't want Chief to ask more questions. I wanted to just pause for a second.
Yeah, man. I think if you pay attention to the conversation we're having now, one of the problems is that we're trained to think that love is perceived socially as being too outward, in my opinion. It's way too external. You know what I'm saying? And in my opinion, you gain a better understanding of your own foundation on what love means once you learn to love yourself, because then you give out a different frequency and you find yourself receiving that same frequency. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't always come from somebody you in a romantic relationship with. It could be a homie. It could be somebody you at the fuck bagel shop waiting for a bagel with. There's different measures of love once you understand what that shit feels like in here, right? But we're taught that we learn it through like the actions and displays of other people. And like you say, we're at the risk of who knows what pair of parents you gonna fucking get. You know what I'm saying? So love can be whatever, but I think if we just get back to the understanding, like love is something that we talk about defining it for ourselves in the midst of trying to achieve an image of love. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's almost as if it's like counter love to define it on your own terms when that's the actual answer, because it doesn't look the same for any four of us right now. You know what right. I'm saying? Like it looks different for every single one of us. And that's because of our own experience.
Mm-hmm.
So why change the image of it all? You know what I'm saying? Why rely on what somebody told you had to feel in order to say that that's love, and then just all of a sudden be out of love because you feel differently one day? You know what I'm saying? I think you got to kind of define that shit for yourself.
Yeah, that's and a great point, bro. There's no blanket answer, right?
Yeah.
There was a girl who was in a relationship with this guy, and she called it toxic. It was abusive physically. It was abusive verbally. And after years, she got out of a relationship, and she went and got in a relationship with a guy where there was no conflict. She left the guy with no conflict, and she went back to the other guy because she said felt like the lack of conflict made her feel like he didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So deep, man.
So I think what love is one of those things where we're developing a definition as we get older, and we continue to develop one as we evolve. When we meet a person, I think we create a definition collectively, and then we live according to that definition that we created instead of me imposing my definition on you. Like my father loved me to death, right? But the way he loves me makes me feel smothered. You know what I mean? Like he stands over my shoulder at 40 years old and tell me, hey, yeah, when you make your plate, take that, put the gravy on that, take that. He tells me stuff that, you know what I mean? I'm like, man, get behind me. You know what I mean?
My mom is the same way. This is real quick. Example, today I'm at the crib eating shrimp and grits. Chicken, fish and grits, right? And I'm eating the grits. She's like, you got to mix the grits with the fish. You can't just eat the grits by themselves. I'm like, can I eat my food how I want to eat my food? Like,
that's what I'm saying, right? I went out, my father came to visit me. And he ain't leave for 2 years. he downstairs in the bottom floor of my house. I get ready to walk out my garage to go to the car to get something out the garage. He say, hey, don't walk out there with no socks on. You know you catch a cold from your feet. I'm like, man, I'm 40. You know what I'm saying? But he's saying it because he loves me. But it makes me feel disregarded. It makes me feel like he thinks I'm dumb. So he's imposing his way of love on me, and it don't feel like love. So we can't take these definitions we have and impose it on other people. We got to figure out what does love mean to that person, and then try to figure out if we're able 100%. To love in that way. So when we meet a person, we got to collectively come up with a definition and then love according to our definition. And like Prentice said, don't run around here trying to conforming to what society says love 100%. Is
100%. But that, oh my God, it's so deep. Because Prentice, you said something, man. You said something to the effect of people not loving themselves or not being willing to love themselves or whatever the case. But here's the thing. I just thought about this. This conversation is so good. Because what if your definition of love is abuse? Right? So you will never want to love yourself.
No,
right? If that's your definition, right? If that's your definition, it's like, no, I don't know. I don't, because that's how you define it. Now, you may Or you can love yourself, but your definition of that is how you talk to yourself, right? So now you say all these negative things, right? The self-deprecating things to yourself because that's what you thought love was, right? So you start telling yourself all these things that you're not and why you can't, right? Because that's all you know. So then per your example, Obi, you get a person that comes in and they're like, no, you're amazing. You're this, you're that. There's no conflict. Like, she clearly don't love me.
You don't know what to do with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. Right. This is good. This is deep.
Ooh, and the cold part, bro. This was so me after my last relationship with Sarai. The cold part is not only if we talk about from a mistaken identity of love space and you get into another relationship. The cold part about that shit is that you don't realize what you're doing. And then it takes somebody else to recognize what you're doing and then give you the space and time to fuck. You got to identify that shit first, right? Then you got to unlearn the behavior.
But then before you even do that,
new behavior. But the problem is, but if you think about this shit, when it comes to love, the only time we really give ourselves permission to relearn love is after heartbreak. Like people aren't okay with choosing to love differently or exploring a different option until they've been like just fucking emotionally scarred and hurt, then you give yourself permission. But if you allow it to be a revolving door, depending on who you're around, it can forever kind of fucking change. You know what I'm saying?
And one of two things. One, you may, if it keeps revolving, you may never reconcile those feelings. That's one. Two, you can be reconciling those feelings in real time in front of that person, right? So that person has to be willing to allow that process to happen. So boom, I'm dating somebody. I'm realizing that my definition is all screwed up. She's able to have a high level conversation with me and make agreements on what this should look like or what they want it to look like. Now I have to be like, oh shit. So now I'm out. You mean to tell me that all the things I was doing was based on my previous experience with love, which was rooted in abuse. So now think about that. You're an adult. Now you got to think about all the years.
Yes.
That you done live this way. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It's mind fuck as an adult.
Yeah. And then it's like now it's like the only way I can describe it, because I don't cry a lot. So when I start crying, I'm obviously emotional at that point, but then I get more emotional because I'm crying. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, why am I crying? So it's like, when you reconcile those feelings, like, damn, why was I so stupid? How did I allow myself to do that for so long? So then you got to get over the guilt, all this stuff, but you're doing this in front of that person. You know what I'm saying? So they have to watch that, be okay with that, and help you get to where they need to go, where you want to go with them. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot, man. It's a lot. It's a lot.
No, definitely.
Jeez, you're quiet.
No. I'm listening to the conversation as we bounce back and forth. But I'm a question I have for all of y'all. You feel free to answer in the manner in which you know or you want to. But have all of you given love in the way, let's start with given. Have all of you given love in the way you would define love?
Yo, I don't know that I've ever defined love, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Good answer.
You know, like I don't know that I've ever defined it. I've never looked at it like, actually, the only definition I can attach to love, which is, this can open up a can of worms, which is why it's good that we have these conversations. The only definition I can attach to love is protect and provide. Right? That's the only
man's answer.
Right. That's the only definition I could. That's the like if I was put on the spot, like that's the only thing I could say. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, but as black men, by and large, we don't have high emotional IQs. Right. Like I was watching the interview with Jay-Z on David Letterman, and I was watching the one with Kevin Hart, and he was just talking about perspective and how we view love, right? He was talking about when his father left, and as an adult, he was able to forgive his father because he was able to see it from his perspective. Because what happened was his father's brother, his uncle, was murdered And his father would leave the house in the middle of the night once he would get word about who killed him, and he would go try to find that dude and kill him. And what his mom, Jay-Z's mom, was doing was telling him, don't leave the house, like basically giving him an ultimatum. Like, you have a family here. But what he, what love, what she was trying to describe to him was like, hey, we love you, we need you. But what it was presented as was an ultimatum. It's either the streets or us. And it's like, well, how do you expect a man to defend his baby brother? How do you expect him to pick, right? So for me, my definition of love has always been protect and provide, if I had to put a definition on it. But the other thing is, that's probably the only thing I can actually say consistently as it pertained to love that I did. Like, okay. I protect, provide, and compassion. That's okay. Another one. Compassion and coachability. That's those are the four things. Like, if I had to define it, that's what it would be for me.
So go ahead, P.
Why do you say only? And I'll tell you why I asked that.
Those are the only consistent things. I've done different things, but if you ask me for my definition, I would only be able to give you my definition by way of reflection.
So
by way of reflection,
this isn't a five love languages type thing right now. But with those four things you just mentioned, have you received love in that same way, and does it mean the same to you? Like, is it as significant to you to get those things? Or does loving you look different?
Here's the crazy thing. Some of those things I won't be able to receive. Right?
Like your nature of a man being able to protect.
Yeah. And protect and provide. That's one. Right? Like, now, per my definition, what I receive now in my marriage is my wife takes care of the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, she takes care of the house. Like, I don't ever have to worry if there's going to be something to eat in the refrigerator because she's got that covered. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to ever have to worry that my son's going to have his appointment set up. Like, she has that covered, right? And that's something that I need, but that's not something I could even define that I need. Like, the only thing that I can tell you that I need per definition is I need grace. I need empathy. I need context. And I need context, right?
Wait, Obi.
And appreciation. Ahead. And appreciation.
Empathy. Mm-hmm. Empathy struck you.
No, I'm just listening to him in whole. Right now, we're watching this man conduct a self-assessment about how he loves and how he receives loves that he's never conducted before.
Exactly.
Right? And this is a self-assessment that a lot of us don't conduct unless we're forced by something. Today, he was forced by this podcast. And if you listen to his definition of love, it's rooted in what he was conditioned to believe his responsibility is as a man.
100%.
And the way he receives love is rooted in what he was conditioned to believe a woman's responsibility is as a woman. As a man, we're not naturally emotionally intelligent. We're not naturally clued in. So you notice the first thing he said he needs? Grace. Because we don't automatically understand how to be emotionally supportive. We're not automatically present emotionally. And in times that we not, what do we need? We need grace. We need you to understand that we don't need to. So all his answers was deeply rooted in how we have been conditioned to behave as a man.
100%.
For me,
love. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm facilitating. Go ahead.
For me, love. And I tip my hat to you, bro, for saying the word coachable, because I loved the same way you did when I was married. I had a wife that I met when I was 16. She was 17. We got married when I was about 22, and all my life I was taught that men are to provide. So I provided. I provided. Whatever money I made belonged to the household. Whatever money she made belonged to her, right? So her money was hers. My money was everybody's, right? So then 13 years later, we separated, and how can I put, she's a beautiful person. Let nothing I say seems like an effort to degrade her, but to explain this. But we grew up graduating from high school, and those things weren't the priority, right? So she didn't do those things. We get together. I provide. 13 years later, when we separate, she's in no better of a position to face society than she was when she was 17. Because what I didn't do is I didn't develop. Mm-hmm. All I knew how to do was provide. So when my providing went away, she wasn't developed as a person educationally anymore. I didn't. So it's areas that I was strong in. She wasn't. I should have been making her strong in those areas. This area she was strong in, I wasn't. She should have been making me strong in those areas. So I didn't have coachable in my mentality. So my definition of love back then bit me in the ass, because now I have, you know, a person who I love to death, who I wish I would have did more for on development side instead of just providing. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think as men, we tend to love based on what we have been conditioned to believe that a man's responsibility is.
So P, I want to get to you about that to answer the same question. But before I do, OB, feel free not to answer this, but when was the last time you used the words "I love you" in a romantic situation, and did it encompass all of what you define to be as love right now?
Yeah, the last time I used that word in a romantic situation, when I say romantic, I mean under the umbrella of a monogamous relationship,
mm-hmm.
was that relationship ended probably a year and a half ago, something like that. And I was then using that after a long time of self-assessments, after being an advocate for traumatic situations and learning how to be emotionally intelligent. So at that time, I was prepared to use it and use it with a definition that I could stand behind.
Pete.
But that took you all those years.
I was 40. I'm 42 right now. I was 41.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So P, the same question to you as I ask, Bill. Have you given love in the way that you would define love?
Yeah. Same answer as Bill. I don't know if I ever had a definition. I know I've always chased female approval, always, from my mom to everybody. I mean, female approval has been everything. So I've given what I was taught. What I was taught my value was. My value coming up, my mom, I knew how to build. I can build anything. I can create, fix. I can do anything. So I'm always dying to fix somebody's broken something in their house, somebody's woman's, you know, something. So I think I've given extra effort in the places I felt my value has been recognized the most by women, you know? So I think that's what I've done. And I think I kind of like masked it with like ego and shit, or just trying to knock them down. But really, I'm just trying to give my best piece, because that's, you know what I'm saying? Like when I did work, I built shit. My mom made me fix shit.
So is it fair to assume, like, rather than ask the question about you, have you received it? Is it fair to assume that because you felt like because you had received that approval, you felt like you were receiving the love?
Yeah, I felt like, if I can do this and they stay and they're still there, then I'm doing something right. But I think that was like a setback, because that was at the expense of damn near everything else about myself as a man.
I'll ask a broader question, Chief. Can we receive what we can't even define?
That's hard to do too.
You know what I'm saying? Like we don't even know. Like I'm 40, right? And I'm answering the question for the first time in my life. Like, what's the definition of love? So, I don't even know how to define it for myself to give, right? I know what I believe it to be, right? But if I'm shaky on what the definition is, right, how will I know when I'm receiving it? You see what I'm saying?
Like or barometer for like what you even deserve. You know what I'm saying? Like I know I was I'll take what I can get type love type nigga. Like,
which I'll take what I can get. So that speaks to a whole nother thing. You know what I'm saying? Like you take what you can get. So that are you not worthy? Right? Why do you say you're not worthy? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like it's a deeper conversation.
Yeah, I think a lot of times what we do And first, before I even say that, Bill, don't feel secluded. You ask anybody, any one of y'all can put this to the test.
Right.
Go ask anybody, what's your definition of love? And they're going to do two things. They're going to make a noise and they're going to look in the air first before they start test it. What's your definition of love? And then they're going to start talking. Right. But if you ask somebody what's the definition of hate, they're going to immediately start telling you, which shows you love doesn't have a definite definition. Hate does. Right. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out how to exist in a thing that's never been defined holistically, not been defined by us. Right. But I think what makes us feel love, I know there's some things about my character that are very unbecoming. I'm not talking about disrespect, like being abusive or infidelity, not disrespectful. There's some things about my character that are just unbecoming. Like I'm very secluded. I have very, very rigid boundaries. And when those boundaries are breached, I have little tolerance for it and I have little grace. There's some things about my character that are very unbecoming. Whenever somebody has an abundance of patience for those things that are unbecoming, we feel loved. That's when we feel loved. When we know this is an ugly thing about me and this person is trying to work with me through this, that's when we start feeling loved. That's the kind of shit that makes most men feel loved. Because we know we all got these unbecoming things about us. And when somebody has patience to help us through it, when someone puts their desires for us to the side and allows us, for instance, I need space. But there's some people who want time from me. Whenever they can say, even though I want time from me, I'm gonna put my desires to the side so I can allow you to get what you need from you. When people make those stretches for us, that's when we start feeling love.
That's whenever the within. That's the within right there. Yeah, I think it all ties back to that love within. When they can recognize, like you said, what you need from you. You know what I'm saying? Like if you can, somebody can recognize what you need to give yourself. That's powerful, man.
Absolutely powerful. So again, we could go on for days. You want to keep this party going, but I think we probably pushing just about an hour right now, fellas. You know, we try to keep it connected.
Hold on though, homie. You ain't answered no question.
You ain't say nothing, chief.
Yeah, you know, so that means keep going. Cause you ain't said a motherfucking thing all damn hour.
So in that term, I think I would have like
go back and answer the questions. What's your definition of love?
Kindness, the exposition of kindness has been something that I've revered in when it comes to love. Like I'm how many times have you been to me like be rude to people? Like I'm always trying to be kind and like give love, show love type thing. So and again, the parameters behind that word in those essences of giving and showing love, but I'm typically trying to be kind. And I think that's the initial phase in pursuing and receiving love, just moving with kindness. You know what I'm saying? And as far as me to answer the question, have I given love in the way? So the question was, have I given love in the way that I learned it? And I'd have to say yes. But again, I think with my definition of love has evolved without me realizing that I had a definition for it, if that makes sense. Like you just start to learn, you start to learn and grow within, like, okay, this is something I can add on to. What love means to me. This is also a part of what love means to me. This is also a part of how I can best receive love. And when I think of when I felt loved the most, to the opposite of what Shorty you were dealing with, or that you referenced, Obi, I think peace was a big part of love for me. Just those moments where peace and support, I think, for me, felt like love. When I felt like you had my back. And kind of, you know, like you said, loving me through those unbecoming things, because we don't know what we don't know. You know what I'm saying? And then loving me through those things and then perhaps being able to point them out in a manner which we're receptive to it. Made because Bell, I think Bell mentioned it earlier, like people with Shorty leaving the house, like for a long time, a lot of my lessons were viewed as ultimatums. Versus like, I see something in you that, you know, you could be better at. But in my mind, it's like, well, you don't like that, then it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I am who I am. But then as, you know, as we get older, we start to evolve. I hear critical feedback a lot different now, like a lot different. And I think to Prentice's point, hearing feedback a lot different now is a result of finding love within. You know what I'm saying?
Like I can say it from right up from my man right here. We've had many a conversations where you're like, nope, that ain't it. That ain't it. And how many times recently? That's not much pushback.
Right.
Like I'm hearing what you're saying and I'm taking it in, and I know it's coming from a place of love, and that for me is a sign of growth within myself, being able to just sit back and go, okay.
Yeah, because you know what it is, man. It's like when your insecurities are exposed, you get triggered, right? And you go to fight mode. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't true, it wouldn't bother you. You know what I'm saying? Like that's all it is. And I think that's where you at right now. Like you've to your point, like you've done a lot of work. So now when you backslide per se, and I call you on it, you'd be like, you know what? You're right. Right. Cause you're no longer insecure about those things. Cause you've identified them as an unbecoming character trait, right? That you've worked on.
I think it hits. Does it hit more when your lady tells you, like someone you obviously, I don't know, we can't put it in air quotes, love, but when someone you're in an intimate romantic relationship with that you love tells you something that's uncomfortable? Is that a matter of, in the way you receive it, is it a matter of understanding the love you have built within yourself, or understanding the love that this person has for you? If that makes sense. Am I making sense? That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to me at least.
I think I know what you're asking. If I understand the question correctly, I think for me, it's rooted in intent, right? My relationship with a person can let me know what their intent is when they say a thing. Like when you said, Bill, I've told you that's not it. That's not it. The relationship with him let you know that his intent was in love. Somebody else can say the same thing and you know their intent is in hate. You're not going to be as receptive of that same sentence that he said to you. So for me, the person that's connected to me, if I know who they are and I know that that's their intent, once I put my ego to the side and stop being defensive, then I can receive that in love. But if I know that person is saying it out of spite, they're saying it out of envy, they're saying it out of anger, then I'm gonna be less receptive to the exact same words.
So in that moment, you may be less receptive, but do you still take these comments with a grain of salt and go home because you love yourself and have found that love within yourself? You beefing with Prentice because he don't like the way you did X, Y, Z. You have that moment out there, but then you go home like, damn, maybe this nigga was, maybe he was on to something.
I think that's responsible. I think it's responsible to always look and see whether or not it was any fact associated with it, right? It's one of those things where you got to be able to like swallow meat and spit bones, take in what's relative to you and then get rid of the rest. But I think it's always responsible to conduct a self-assessment and say, even though that person said it out of hate and they wasn't saying it because they love me, like you have some people, we're talking in a setting like this, and I might be talking about real estate. And then Prentice is finna go to real estate school. He's already graduated from the school. He starts telling me, oh, you got to do it like this, do it like this, do it like this. And it sounds like he's giving me game out of love. He's really just giving me this game to let the other three people know that he knows more than me. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But if I know my relationship with him, I can decipher the difference. Mm-hmm. Is this out of love? Or he's just trying to shake his dick in front of these other three people. But at the end of the day, regardless to how he gave it, it is responsible for me to go back and say how much of what he said might have been true, regardless of what the intent is. Right. If that makes sense at all.
It does.
It definitely does. Because we, you mentioned the word keyword ego. And I think ego will get in the way of a lot of us and being able to decipher what love is, regardless of what it is. Ego.
We go major, man. You got to pluck his feathers, because if not, it'll drive you to make decisions that are irrational.
For sure. For sure. Yo, fellas, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. But to my point, I appreciate you joining us, man, because like I said, when we had this conversation, I remember being like, damn, that was some really dope perspective, man. I think it could benefit a lot of people to hear this. You know what I'm saying? So it's really dope to have you on to have these conversations, man. So when we finish, we typically go with a final thought, you know, something, a gem you pulled from the episode, or just something you want the people to know, or whatever the case may be. So P, I'll let you go first, bro. Give me your final thought.
Final thought on this one, just remain open to the concept of love. And if you're a little restrictive on your definition, just explore it. You know what I'm saying? Explore it. Be open to what it can do for you, man. It doesn't have to be only what you thought it was.
Judge.
Go ahead.
Inspect what you expect. That's what I'm pulling from this, man. It's important for you to know. Like if you're moving in a direction, you need to make sure that you're aligned, right? Like Like J. Cole said, the good news is you came a long way. The bad news is you went the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, y'all could both be saying the same thing, right? I love you. I love you. I care for you. But how you give love may not be how they receive love, right? So that's why I said inspect what you expect, and get on the same page and how you both define love. Look, bro, I'm going downstairs having a conversation with my wife after this, you know, like, just because it's interesting, man. And I think she would appreciate the conversation, because I don't know what her definition is, right? I didn't know what my definition was, right? So I think it's a good opportunity to inspect what you expect. That's all. That's my final thought.
That's dope. P, I implore you to do the same, bro. I think that could be a very valuable conversation for your relationship, for sure.
I'm going right upstairs to the kitchen, and we about to talk about the same shit. I don't even want to think this fucking hard right now.
I didn't need this shit. I got a whole bunch of other stuff going on.
Right, but it's the work. But I love y'all, but I fucking can't stand y'all niggas sometimes. Like, this is wonderful.
That's a real thing.
It's wonderful.
That's a real thing.
That shit is dope, though. So glad. I'm so thankful we have these conversations, man. Obi, give us your final thought, man. What's on your spirit?
One, Bill, one of the things that you said, you're going to go down there and hold a conversation, ask your wife what her definition of love is. She's going to make a sound and then look in there. What you might end up learning is that y'all going to end up creating a definition together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. We ain't got time for this. Okay, hold on. Run it back. Hold on. Obi. Your joint was breaking up. You said the last thing you said, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to have a conversation and defining it together. And that's when it cut off.
Okay, you're going to end up defining it together. But my final thought is to thank you all for this. You might have saw me shaking my head and kind of laughing when you all were talking. That laughing was just it was kind of a wow to see men sit here and conduct a self-assessment that they've never conducted before in front of three other men, right? So you all have this platform where you do this on a regular basis, and I don't see it on a regular basis. So it was just kind of a stunning thing. So I appreciate you all creating a platform that allows men to have this level of vulnerability. The name of it is Men Need Therapy Too. So clearly you all aren't opposed to self-assessments. The first thing P did when he got on here is he talked about how he wasn't doing well, right? Our natural response is, oh, I'm straight, regardless to how we feel. So that just lets me know that this has become a safe space for him. A lot of men don't have safe spaces. So my final thought is just to, from the bottom of everything in me, thank y'all for taking this serious.
100%. Thank you. I got a million and one different final thoughts. But on behalf of the fellas, we say thank you for joining us, man. Because like I said, I told the fellas this was going to be a pretty interesting episode. And the insight and perspective you brought will be a great conversation. I think it was. And I wrote down some quotes, and P, you said it, and this shit is like, it was super profound for me. And you said the only time we give ourselves permission to redefine love is after a heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And that shit is powerful right there. So I implore people to, you know, to consistently attack the definition of love and what it looks like for them and their partners or the people involved, just because we don't want it to be something we're forced to do after the heartbreak. You know what I'm saying? Another thing would be to, in addition to that, is kind of ask yourself, have you given or received love in the way that you would define it? And if not, then, you know, if you can define love and then go about living in that manner, I think consider it a win for yourself. No, you know what I'm saying? Because you're moving in a way where you
provided that person receives love that way.
True, very much true. It was another one I put was check with your significant other and see what love looks like for them and love them that way, and then just conduct a self-assessment of love. And lastly was just understand that love will forever change depending upon the situation, and your regard for that situation will determine how you move in that love.
Boom.
That worked. Perfect. Yo.
So this has been another episode of All Black Men Need Therapy. We are on all social media outlets at All Black Men Need Therapy. Hit us up at allblackmenneedtherapy@gmail.com. We get in the website soon, I promise y'all. We just had a business conference before the show. We're moving in a better direction. Anyone want to help us on the business end of it, shoot us an email. Let's work. Seriously. Seriously. But per usual, y'all, do us all a favor and hug a black man today.
No, really. Do that shit.
And tomorrow.
Do it.
We out, y'all.
Peace.